Well, of course, one wants to exploit all of the properties of nanostructures. Some of those properties involve special conduction properties, certain semiconducting properties, certain biological capabilities, and light, of course, is a very important medium, both in terms of communication. We communicate using light, and in terms of sensing, we sense things using light, using various spectroscopic tools, and so on. And nanotechnology allows you to create structures that help you control light in new ways. And so, for example, you can create circuits that allow you to guide light through space in a way that is actually almost magical. You can make light move around corners, but over distances that are much smaller than the wavelength of light. You can create structures that concentrate light in nanostructures, that is, it concentrate light into very, very tiny spaces, perhaps 10 or 20 cubic nanometers, and as a result, that area becomes a hot spot that can excite molecules in a way that you can't normally do, and therefore you detect them better in that way. Nanostructures also can be used to create materials whose bulk properties are shaped by the nanostructures that are part of their building blocks. So, for example, you can create deep ultraviolet polarizers using nanowire arrays in which the spacing between the nanowires is only 50 or 70 nanometers. And that's very important these days because fabrication, electronic fabrication and wafer fabrication is moving more and more into the ultraviolet, and so you need optical products to shape and control the light so that you can create these wonderful products using fabrication techniques. And so one way to create those products is to use nanostructures.
Now, you say electronics is moving more into the ultraviolet. Why is that?
Well, what I meant was that the fabrication of electronics is moving into the ultraviolet. You know, we live in a highly electronic world in which almost all of our devices are controlled by integrated circuits. And these integrated circuits are created through a form of lithography. It's almost like printing. But printing very, very tiny structures. Photolithography is very well established. It is really the backbone of the electronics industry. If you want to put more and more transistors and other components in the same real estate, you need to make finer and finer features. And for that, you need to use light of shorter and shorter wavelengths. And so we went from red light to blue light to violet light, and now we're into the ultraviolet domain. Now, using deep ultraviolet produces certain challenges in controlling and shaping this light, and so that requires new optics and a whole new technology just to support this new printing with ultraviolet, and that's already here. It's not something in the future. Using 193 nanometer ultraviolet light to create new electronics and other products is being done today, and one of the applications of nanotechnology is to create polarizers and optical retarders and other things of that sort that shape and control that light.
How does all of that relate to forest products?
Well, I'm learning a lot about forest products. This is not an area that I was really familiar with, and just listening to what's being presented in this conference has really opened my eyes that cellulose can be used as templates, as a structure guiding material, that paper can be made conducting, semiconducting. I'm actually more of a learner than a teacher here, and it's filling my head with many, many ideas about how to use paper as a substrate for high technology, including nanotechnology. So almost everything, including nanotechnology, is created on a template, on a substrate, on some surface. Silicon, of course, is a very important surface, but more and more we're going to other specialty surfaces, glass, of course, plastics and polymers, and now I'm learning that paper and cellulose-derived products are, in some ways, an ignored high-tech material that I'm learning a great deal about.
Tell me about your company.
Well, this has been a very, very exciting adventure for me. I was given the opportunity by the board of directors of API Nanotronics to create this nano company within a publicly traded company. It's a very unusual model. Normally, high-risk ventures of this sort are created as startups, and they usually fail. But I think that we're going to succeed. And the API Nanotronics and the board of API Nanotronics and the CEO, whose name is Steve Puddles, has been tremendously patient and tremendously supportive in allowing me, of course, not alone. In fact, I'm the least of the people involved. We have 20 engineers and fabrication experts and technologists and management experts and just an entire cadre of individuals to create this nano business within a publicly traded company. And we've been in business for just under 2 years, and we are selling close to $1 million worth of products annualized, and we've developed about 6 major products that have customers. In fact, we allowed the customers to guide us as to what the products should be. We started with a model, and the market, as usual, tells you where you should take these products. And so I'm very excited by what we've accomplished over the past 2 years.
What are the products?
The products, as I said previously, are nanostructured optics. We focus on things like deep ultraviolet optics, like polarizers, retarders, etc. We have nano gratings that are used in optical storage. We have filters that can very deftly pass certain wavelengths of light and reject others. We use a process called atomic layer deposition to be able to make unbelievably durable, very ultra thin, perhaps 10 to 20 nanometer thin coatings that can protect optical surfaces like silver and aluminum from corrosion and erosion. We make sensors, optical sensors, that use nanostructures to concentrate light at certain positions in the nanostructure where molecules can be detected using a spectroscopic technique called Raman spectroscopy. And, you know, all of these things are based on a platform technology, and that is of making large arrays of nanowires that can be made reproducibly and reliably on wafers, so that we use all of the power of existing fabrication, silicon fabrication and other fabrication techniques, but put on it our own spin, our own proprietary spin, to allow us to create these very, very dense nanostructures that have these remarkable properties.
So for people who are in the forest products industry, what can they take away from your experience?
Well, I think that there are analogs to what can be done with with forest products, with cellulose materials, cellulosic materials, with single crystalline cellulose, for example, that can be used in optical products, that can be used in as substrates, as new high-tech substrates. So I think there are parallels to where we were a couple of years ago and where forest product industry was a couple of years ago, that can, through the power of ingenuity and talent of individuals who are dedicated to finding applications for these products, create nano businesses. Some of them will be startups, some of them will be new product lines for existing companies. I've been talking to folks here who've really impressed me with their forward thinking and high-tech thinking in an industry that is one of the oldest exploited by the human species.
Martin, thank you very much.
You're always welcome.